You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers. Get up, stand up.
Stand up for your right. Do you want to know what illegal looks like? Jaime and Alice was just doing his job when they came. We're just going after criminals, they said, but we all look the same to them. Because ICE would rather see us dead than out of status. Because ICE would rather murder our compañeros than give out status. The ICE pigs who raided the Glasshouse Farms in Ventura County and arrested over 200 farm workers that led to the death of Jaime, that's terrorism. The ignored screams of SOS coming from these concentration camps, that's terrorism. The 287G program turning local cops into deportation death squads, that's terrorism. But here's what they forget. When you terrorize the people who have already crossed deserts, who've already survived death squads, and who have already outlived oppression, you're not creating fear, but you're creating fighters. For every child that they orphan, two more join the blockade. For every mother that they disappear, 10 take her place in the streets. And for every body that they left dumped in the desert, 100 more learn to fight back. We know their playbook, but we got our own playbook now. Sanctuary, not silence. Solidarity, not submission. And action, not despair. So let them try to intimidate us. Let them try to bring their fake warrants and their masked faces, and we'll meet them with occupied intersections, rapid response networks, and strikes that run their profits cold. And a truth that terrifies them is that you can't deport a movement.
Good evening, Suncoast, and welcome to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran, and I am here with Comrade Sarah McKay. Thank you for listening to WSLR in 96.5, and please consider becoming a member of WSLR if you like the programming that you hear today. Hi, Sarah. It's nice to be here with you.
Hey, Ruth. So I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. There's a lot to unpack here as we aim to get to the root of what's happening around us here in Florida. The systems, the struggles, and the stories that often get buried or ignored.
Yes, we have a very important show prepared for you today. First, we will start with our true update. After that, we will get into our main story, which is the demonstrations at Camp Landing. These were covered by WSLR reporter Ramon Lopez. And after that, we'll see what is next in the neighborhood. Let's go ahead and get started.
Here's our true updates. The Tampa Bay community came out in numbers to honor the memory of Saifullah at the Islamic Community of Tampa this past Saturday. For those who are not aware, on July 11th, a 20-year-old Tampa resident and U.S. citizen named Saifullah, or Saif Musalet, who was visiting family in the West Bank, was murdered by Israeli settlers during a violent land grab of his family's village. Saif was beaten and surrounded for 3 hours to prevent paramedics from providing life-saving care. He died in his younger brother's arms before reaching the hospital. Despite being a U.S. citizen, Saif's family has received no meaningful response from the government, continuing a pattern of impunity. At least 5 Palestinian Americans have been killed by Israel in recent years without accountability. Meanwhile, settler violence is surging, with UN data showing an average of 4 attacks per day since October 7th. June marked the highest monthly injuries in 2 decades, with 95 Palestinians harmed by Israeli settlers and the Israeli army. The U.S. continues to arm and enable Israel's campaign of ethnic cleansing, even lifting sanctions on Israeli settlers. Saif's death underscores the deadly consequences of this support, and the Tampa community mourns his loss and stands with the Council for American Islamic Relations and his family in demanding justice and an end to the U.S.-Israeli ethnic cleansing of Palestine. Secondly, the Associated Press has reported that Trump's Department of Labor proposes more than 60 rule changes in a push to deregulate workplaces. The U.S. Department of Labor is aiming to rewrite or repeal more than 60 quote-unquote obsolete workplace regulations, ranging from minimum wage requirements for home health care workers and people with disabilities to standards governing exposure to harmful substances. If approved, the wide-ranging changes unveiled this month would also affect working conditions at construction sites and mines and limit the government's ability to penalize employers if workers are injured or killed while engaging in inherently risky activities such as movie stunts or animal training. The Federal Department of Labor says the goal is to reduce costly, burdensome rules imposed under previous administrations and to deliver on President Donald Trump's commitment to restore American prosperity through deregulation. The true translation of reducing cost is reducing labor cost for corporations and employers at the expense of workers. Let's not get that mistaken. Thirdly, the Secretary of State Marco Rubio finally announced this week that anyone who criticizes Israel will not be granted a visa to enter the United States. In his announcement, Rubio tried to justify the new visa restriction by falsely stating that, quote, free speech is among the most cherished rights we enjoy as Americans, end quote. He specifically stated that this right, legally enshrined in our Constitution, has set us apart as a beacon of freedom around the world, end quote. This is just another example of how our government gaslights us by targeting, unjustly detaining, and caging thousands of protesters around the country just last year, and then claiming the U.S. is a beacon of freedom around the world. He also quotes the phrase, never again, in reference to the Jewish Holocaust. It begs the question, never again for everyone? Because this statement completely ignores the ethnic cleansing of Gaza and the West Bank that has brutally killed hundreds of thousands of Palestinians through bombing campaigns and deliberate starvation. He also says, quote, there can be no nuanced separation of hatred of Israel and hatred of the Jewish people. Those who call to boycott Israel are calling for the boycott of their Jewish neighbors, end quote. This disrespectful conflation of the Jewish community as a whole and a genocidal ethnostate is not only intellectually dishonest, it's a dangerous smear tactic meant to silence dissent and criminalize solidarity. But we won't be bullied into silence. Boycotting is not hate. It is a moral and strategic response to apartheid, to genocide funded with our tax dollars. Rubio and his ilk want you to believe that criticism is violence and that silence is virtue, but history has never been changed by silence. Boycotts helped dismantle the South African apartheid. Boycotts fueled the civil rights movement. Boycotts are one of the most peaceful, potent, and principled tools we have in the fight for justice. The real danger isn't our refusal to support genocide, it's the government's insistence that we must. This is why here at The Ruthless Truth, we are committed to staying informed and not buying into the lies and propaganda thrown at us by our oppressor, the U.S. government, on a daily basis. I'll hand it back to you, Ruth.
Thank you, Sarah, for this important update. Let's go ahead and get started with our main story.
Governor Ron DeSantis has decided to support Trump's administration plans by opening a series of concentration camps in Florida. The first one of these camps, which is referred to as Alligator Alcatraz or Everglades Concentration Camp, opened at the beginning of this month. CBS News Miami has already played multiple recordings of phone conversations with detainees describing their experience. They reported denial of medication, bright light on at all times of the day, and one man said that he was told, here there is no right of religion, after his Bible was taken away. One detainee said, quote, a lot of us have our residency documents and we don't understand why we are here. Other news reports have also mentioned inedible food and unsanitary conditions. Governor Ron DeSantis, or Ron DeNaxi, the way I like to call him, announced the building of the second concentration camp at Camp Blandy near Jacksonville. DeNaxi recently announced the construction of Camp Blandy is being put on pause until the Everglades concentration camp is at capacity. Let's not forget that this camp is being brought to you at the expense of $450 million a year. Different groups call for demonstration, including the Jacksonville Immigrant Rights Alliance. WSLR News reporter Ramon Lopez attended the demonstration and has brought back a report to us. Let's go ahead and listen in.
We say justice, you say how? Stop the deportations now!
We say justice, you say how?
Stop the deportations now!
We say justice, you say how? Stop the deportations now!
It was a sweltering Saturday afternoon for the 700 to 1,000 vocal demonstrators who baked under scorching summer sunlight at Camp Blanding in Florida. They lined a highway across from the front gate of the Florida National Guard training base in a peaceful protest, pushing back on plans to open a second detention center near Stark in Clay County for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, undocumented immigrant detainees. Last month, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced plans to stand up a facility at Camp Blanding, southwest of Jacksonville in northeast Florida. This in addition to the initial detention center in the Everglades, dubbed Alligator Alcatraz. Last week, however, DeSantis disclosed that he would delay startup of the Camp Blanding detention site. The plan is to fill up Alligator Alcatraz to capacity with 3,000 to 4,000 detainees before moving ahead with Camp Blanding. But it's full steam ahead for turning the state military base into a detention facility as a request for proposal for bids from potential private vendors to run the detention site has been issued.
We sent out the RFP for Blanding. I think that there are a number of people that submitted bids. I'm willing to do Blanding once Alligator Alcatraz is filled. Blanding can be turned on very quickly. I know they'll award the bids once we make that decision. This may happen in a matter of a week or two, right? I mean, it's possible.
Democratic lawmakers are critical of the Alligator Alcatraz setup. And days after President Trump and Governor DeSantis toured the facility in the Everglades, attorneys, advocates, and detainees' relatives spoke out about the poor conditions there. But DeSantis said Alligator Alcatraz is up to standards, as will be the second ICE setup at Camp Blanding.
This is not the Ritz-Carlton, okay? We're not doing this just to let people have food and shelter, although they do get that. But that's not, and all the minimum standards are upheld. But the reality is it's there to be a quick processing center so that they can, we have a runway right there, they can just be flown back to their home country.
While detainees live in tents at Alligator Alcatraz, Blanding has Army-style barracks and buildings that will be repurposed for those in custody, about 2,000 ICE detainees. And like Alligator Alcatraz, Blanding has an airfield, which the state plans to use to remove detained undocumented immigrants to their countries of origin. Ironically, history reveals that Camp Blanding previously provided for prisoners. Of the 378,000 German military personnel captured during World War II, about 10,000 lived and worked in prison camps in Florida. Most of them were assigned to two large camps, one in the Panhandle near Carrabelle and the second at Camp Blanding. They cleaned military bases, picked and packed citrus, cut sugarcane, dug up potatoes, and chopped down trees in Florida's vast pine forests. This until released at war's end. But a deeper dive in history shows that 4,000 German civilians were arrested in Latin America after the shock of the Pearl Harbor attack, then sent north to be interned in camps across America. About 200 of them ended up at Camp Blanding. The civilian deportation program was never kept secret, but it remained largely overlooked for decades, overshadowed by the mass internment in the U.S. of people of Japanese descent. Now, history will reflect that Donald Trump kept his campaign promise to crack down on illegal immigration by ramping up arrests, detainments, and deportations. The recently enacted so-called Big Beautiful Bill will dramatically change the U.S. immigration system. It sets aside $45 billion to expand the network of immigrant detention facilities for adult migrants and families. ICE will increase its current detention capacity from about 41,000 people to 100,000, as ICE has been ordered to make 3,000 arrests per day of undocumented people in the country. The immigrant dragnet will be supercharged by the $12 billion earmarked to hire 18,000 new ICE and Border Patrol personnel to spread through Florida and other states. Despite DeSantis's decision to put his pet prison project on ice for now, the protesters said the rally at Camp Blanding would go on as previously planned to pour antifreeze on the second ice house that's planned. Saturday's protest at Camp Blanding was organized by the Jacksonville Immigrant Rights Alliance, or JIRA. Similar demonstrations have taken place in recent months where protesters called various actions by Trump and DeSantis inhumane. But state officials insist that the planned new facility is necessary for public safety and that detainees' rights will be protected. Stretching across the highway with some passing drivers honking their support, the protesters waved their homemade signs criticizing the future detention site and the immigration-related policies and tactics of the Trump administration. The signs read, "No deportations, no camps. We need FEMA, not death camps. No human is illegal. I prefer crushed ice, melt ice," and reflecting the 102 degrees Fahrenheit registered that day, ice melts in the heat. Speakers included JIRA organizer Jonathan Gonzalo Klenick.
Drawing a line in the sand and saying we are not going to allow concentration camps built in our state or anywhere in this country, that this is wrong, and the move that they're trying to make with Alligator Alcatraz, we cannot let that continue, which is seems to be the plan that DeSantis wants for Camp Blanding right here in Clay County.
Yeah, you are aware that he's delayed the opening of this camp. Is that considered a victory for you?
Not yet. It's not a victory until it's absolutely canceled and all concentration camps of it, akin to it are completely dismantled. I think the fact that he's considering slowing down means that he's feeling some of the pressure and that he doesn't have enough of gas in the tank to continue with his plans, which means that now is the time, especially now, to act and continue the pressure until we cross that finish line. I just grew up with a lot of different people in my life from a lot of different places who look like a lot of different sort of ways, from Mexican to Filipino immigrants, over in the Southern California area. And so an attack on immigrants feels like an attack on my childhood, to attack on everything that I hold dear from my life.
He was not alone in attacking both Governor DeSantis's backing of President Trump and the chief executive's mass deportation agenda.
We protest having any further, I call them incarceration concentration camps in our region. What's going on down south is bad enough. We don't want it up here. We don't believe this is the way to treat immigrants who are not criminals for the most part, but are workers and part of our economy and our life.
Keep up this fight, because this is the good fight. This is the fight that we need to be taking part in, and we will not be silent until there's no camp at Camp Blanding.
We are out here to make sure that our state is not used as the guinea pig for fascism and for authoritarianism any longer.
This is like going back to Nazi Germany or, you know, the Japanese during World War II. There's no reason why these people should be in jail when they get pulled away from their families and their jobs. Why are they going to jobs to pick up people? I thought they were going after the drug dealers. Drug dealers are not going to report to Home Depot for work.
With a third detention center planned by DeSantis in an undisclosed place in the Florida panhandle, and with deepening dismay over the nation's evolving immigration policy, more rallies and protests can be expected to sweep the Sunshine State and the rest of the country, keeping heat on the nation's politicians.
Wow, what a great reporting from Ramon. And to help us expand upon what he saw as an eyewitness at Camp Blanding, Ramon is here with us at the studio. Ramon, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, and thank you so much for reporting back on what you witnessed. It sounds like very strong demonstration took place at Camp Blanding. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the overall sentiment of the organizers and those attending the demonstration at Camp Blanding this past weekend?
Well, it was obvious that both the organizer of the demonstration, that's the Jacksonville Immigration Rights Alliance, and the attendees, of which there was anywhere between 700 to 1,000 regular people, typical young demonstrators, plus middle-aged women, middle-aged men, veterans. There were veterans there holding signs. But they all had a common message. They're all vehemently opposed to what Governor Ron DeSantis is doing to curry favor with Donald Trump as it regards his immigration policy. Yes, there were a handful of pro-Trump demonstrators there, but they were small in numbers, and they kept away from the from their opposition, the demonstrators demonstrating against the DeSantis and his move to make a second detention center at Camp Blanding. So there were no incidents to report, no violence. The police were also stayed back, and they actually were there to help in with traffic control, make sure that none of the demonstrators who were lined up on the side of the road were in danger of being hit by passing vehicles, many of which, when they passed, honked their horns to show their solidarity with the demonstrators and the organizers. There was a vehement opposition to what's going on with the immigration law in the United States.
Thank you so much for that reporting. So it was a pretty good protest and a decent size, 700 to 1,000 people. It's a good size for, you know, something that came about kind of recent, right? A recent struggle, the announcement that this camp was going to be built. Ramon, what would you say were some of the main concerns that the organizers have about the building of this detention center at Camp Blanding?
The consistent message that I received from speaking to both the organizers and the demonstrators, again, just regular people who were there to express their opposition to what's going on. The main concern, I would say, was that they were concerned that the detainees who will eventually be at Camp Blanding and who are currently at Alligator Alcatraz, the facility in the Everglades, the concern is, you know, how are they being treated at the camp in the Everglades, and also when they start arriving at Camp Blanding? There's been numerous reports of alleged inhuman treatment of these undocumented immigrants who are being detained. So a lot of people expressed their concern and their hope that the treatment will be humane and will be that they'll have all the required sanitary facilities available.
Were you surprised that the demonstration was not canceled once Governor DeNaxi announced the delay in opening the facility? The organizers still went forward with their demonstrations, right?
Well, actually, I had to check to see whether the demonstrations would continue, but it was immediately reported and immediately announced by the Jacksonville Immigration Rights Alliance that they would continue to hold the demonstration that Saturday, despite the weather and despite the delay. Jonathan Gonzalo Kleindick, who is in my report, probably said it best. He basically said that enough is enough. There's no waiting there's no purpose in waiting to take action. He said that basically in the report, and I feel that that's basically where it was. And based on what I saw, a lot of the people who were there also felt the same way, and they came out in full force to express their opinions and criticisms of how immigration policy is being handled, and how Governor DeSantis is moving to please President Trump in his policy, whether it's right or wrong, depending on where your political position is.
Yes. And I agree with that, particularly because these camps are being built in a matter of a couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. So yes, there's definitely no time to waste. Ramon, do you witness any construction? Like, what was the conditions at the camp? Was there any construction happening? Has construction begun? Do you witness any like work companies coming through?
Well, I've been to Camp Blanding before, because I have some family in the area. And aside from the camp itself, which sprawls, and there's lace there, and when the National Guard soldiers are there for training, it can get a little noisy. But on a Saturday afternoon in that part of Florida, which is not too far from Stark, closer to a little town called Middleburg, It's a quiet area, and the highway there is not heavily trafficked, and it's usually a quiet, typical Saturday afternoon there. Well, that is until the demonstrators came, and they came in full force. They parked their cars on the side of the highway because they were not allowed to demonstrate even in the public area of the grounds. So they lined up, and they were making a lot of noise in terms of the chanting and shouting their unhappiness with what was going on, so at that point it was pretty interesting. The gates were shut. There was minimal police presence there, and there's no sign of any construction from, of course, the highway. No trucks going in, no trucks going out. You would never have known that construction was going on. But based on what Governor DeSantis said, it would appear that we won't see construction equipment, construction vehicles, part supplies, and the like until things start getting filled up at the Alligator Alcatraz. And even he said that could last, that could be quick, or it could be somewhat delayed, but that he would not start the process of constructing what he needs at Camp Blanding until things a full need is shown based on the program that's been initiated. I should point out that where the people are being detained in the Everglades, they are living in tents. Camp Blanding is a fully operational military base with army-style barracks and the like. So I would suspect that, and I think they've even said that they would utilize some of the barracks, of course, with security constructed for the detainees, which would mean that there would be toilet facilities, hopefully a mess hall where people, the detainees, can be fed, shower facilities, and the type of services that military soldiers would use while they're there for their 2 weeks of training. And that similar and hopefully full utilization of those facilities will be afforded to the detainees, which have been rounded up as part of this ICE dragnet program that's been imposed.
I see. Thank you so much for that. And Ramon, do you think the demonstration will change the government's position on immigration. How impactful do you think you'll be?
Well, it's not for me to say, because I'm just a reporter who's here to report the news. But from what I've seen and read in reports written by those that I work with, and I don't personally feel that, it'll have a great impact. But then again, you know, I could be wrong. I in my career as a journalist, which has gone basically about 50 some years now, I've always wondered whether demonstrations produce the results that the demonstrators and the protesters want and hope for. So we'll have to see on that. But I believe that the person best qualified to speak about the intention and the outcome and what needs to be done should come from a young woman named Monica Martinez, who's one of the main organizers with the Jacksonville Immigration Rights Alliance, who was the final speaker at the rally. And she basically summarized what they hope to accomplish and what she hoped to see happen next. So maybe we should go to listen to her and see what she had to say.
Yes, let's go ahead and listen to that clip. Thank you so much for this report and for bringing such important eyewitness report and information to us, Ramon. Really appreciate having you in the show.
Thank you for having me.
Finally, let's get into the Next in Neighborhood section, the part of the show where we keep you updated on where to show up and show out in the fight against fascism. Another World is Possible invites you to an SRQ rally for Palestine to stop starving Gaza. The rally will be held this Saturday, July 26th at 6 p.m. at Sarasota Bayfront. The rally reads that hunger is Israel's weapon, Gaza is starving to death. Secondly, DSA Pinellas will be hosting a film screening this Saturday, July 26th at 1 p.m. at Allendale Methodist Church. The film feature is Roadmap to Apartheid. This 2012 documentary has been a go-to source for understanding the root causes of the Palestine-Israel war as it explores the parallels between the South African apartheid and Israel. As the film unfolds, viewers see the way in which Zionism has twisted the desire for a safe haven for Jews into a catastrophe for Palestinians. With home demolitions, a denial of electricity, clean water, work permits, and medical care used as weapons to weaken the Arab population. What's more, checkpoints that stall traffic and limit travel, along with separate roads for Jews and Palestinians. It makes it clear how unequal governance has sparked Palestinian rebellion and triggered long-standing violence. Lastly, the Tampa Bay Immigrant Solidarity Network and the Party for Socialism and Liberation Tampa Bay continue to promote fundraising to meet the needs of Maria Lulu Martinez's family, who have since lost employment and have to pay legal fees as they prepare for Maria to be officially deported. Maria is a 22-year-old Sarasota resident and college graduate who was detained at a traffic stop and has been since imprisoned in Texas and has been denied bail. Maria's family continues to fight for her, and you can help by donating to her GoFundMe linked in the Ruthless Truth Instagram bio and episode description wherever you are listening. Depending on what developments take place this week, we are working to bring you an update about Maria's case. Thank you, Ruth, for having me on the show, and I'll see you next week. To learn more about our shows or to share your thoughts with us, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Ruthless Truth Radio. Listen to all of our shows on any podcast platform.
Unfortunately, this is all the time we have. We will see you again next week. And until then, I hope you find the courage to get up, stand up, and not give up the fight. Get up, stand up.